Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan.
It's gorgeous out there today,
it
isn't
is
it?
A beautiful...
It's a little cool this weekend for Memorial Day weekend.
Right, but it's sunny and there's no snow, and that makes me smile.
Ah, yes. Well, we have a great show for you today, and answering the call, find out about exciting new efforts to reach out to young Catholics in our area through Archdiocesan Youth Day.
And we'll talk with a married couple participating in next month's Marriage Day celebration at the cathedral and share details about this special mass and reception.
Plus, we'll hear a local seminarian's hope-filled vocation story as 10 local men prepare for ordination to the priesthood May 25th.
But we're going to start the show today with Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit. Hi, Joe.
Good morning.
It's publication week, isn't it?
It is.
Well, you've been busy then.
Yeah, well, it's a big 40-pager this
week. Wow.
So there's a lot in there this week.
Well, tell us, what's in there?
Well, in this week's Rediscover section, we focus on the roots of our faith and, exploring the beginnings of the Church from Jesus and Pentecost through St. Paul's travels around the Mediterranean, and includes a feature story about a couple from St. Stephen in Anoka who have gone on pilgrimages both to Rome and to the Holy Land to get back to the roots of their faith, particularly in the Holy Land by walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And,
right.
That kind of experience really transforms your prayer life. It transformed their prayer life, and it really brings Scripture to life, I think, when you are
imagine it would.
Reading the Bible or listening to the Gospel and the readings at Mass. And I don't know if you've had the opportunity to do a pilgrimage like that. But,
no, dying to, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It becomes so much more real,
I'm waiting for you to send me the ticket, Joe.
Hey, there we go.
I'm ready to. I'm packing.
Yeah, I've been to a Holy Land a couple of times, and really, it when you see the places and you do walk in those footsteps, and then you hear those readings at Mass, it's just, that those pictures come back in your
right.
mind, and it really does bring Scripture alive. So a great story about that in our usual columns by Matthew Kelly and Christina Kopecky and Father Van Sloan, I think, gives a nice context to all of that, so people can learn a little bit more about the beginnings of the Church in this week's issue.
We're almost up to ordination. For those who are listening on Friday, if you're listening Saturday or Sunday, it's already happened.
It's tomorrow. Right. That's right.
And we have a special 12-page section featuring the 10 men who will be ordained priests for the Archdiocese. And it's in a Q&A format, with the men basically telling their vocation story and how they're planning to live out their calling as Catholic priests. And a man who gets to know the vocation stories of a lot of men and women is our own Archdiocesan Vocations Director, Father Troy Prisabilla. And we have him as a guest on the show today. Good morning, Father.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful.
Great.
Beautiful to see the sun out.
Absolutely. Hey, because of the ordination mass tomorrow, let's focus on the priesthood maybe for just a minute. And for those that may not be familiar with your work, how does the Vocations Office work today with men who have expressed an interest in maybe becoming a priest?
Yeah, I think, in my role as Vocations Director, I handle guys who they've done a lot of discernment on their own before they ever get to me. A lot of that happens in their own prayer life and, in their parishes. Mm-hmm. So I kind of consider myself to be, in some ways, the closer, so to speak, in a baseball game. But, when a guy comes to me, like I said, they've done a lot of discernment. However, they come in all different places in their discernment. Some are early and some are later. But what I do is I meet with them and just try to discern and in talking with them, where they're at in their discernment of the priesthood. And depending upon that, I'll encourage them to check out certain events that we have or retreats that we have. We've got a number of them in the Archdiocese. We have Team Vianney, which is an event that happens at St. John Vianney four times a year. We've got a Vianney visit, which is a time for guys to actually live in the seminary or spend a couple days in the seminary and just praying with the seminarians. And that really tends to be probably one of the most helpful things for guys just to see what it's like. Mm-hmm. We have Andrew dinners with the Archbishop, and so it's great for the Archbishop or even Bishop Pichet host dinners for guys who are discerning, and they go to the Archbishop's residence and have a dinner with him and hear talks from priests, vocation stories. And then we have kind of the culmination of them all, the Archbishop's retreat in December. And I forgot to mention also we have discernment groups that meet in the diocese. But, you know, all of these, kind of I give them, you know, just gauging where they're at, you know, I encourage them to explore these things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I give out books and booklets that we have.
Right.
One is Jesus Calling You to Be a Catholic Priest to Save 1,000 Souls. Right. But no matter where they're at, I always just encourage them to pray.
Right.
And to actively live their faith, because true discernment happens, you know, in Jesus Christ. And
right.
If we're not praying and we're not actively living our faith, then and we're not encountering Jesus, and Jesus is the one that calls. He's actually the vocations director.
Right.
I'm just his assistant.
and you know, the challenge of discerning a vocation today, you know, there's a lot of distractions out there in the world today, clamoring for our attention. I imagine that's one of the challenges that that people have to face when they're discerning this. But you know, is that the biggest challenge? Are there other challenges to that you identify, especially today, for how people can really be in the right mindset to discern a vocation, and how does the vocations office work to address that challenge and maybe some others?
Yeah, I think there are many challenges, as you said, you know, distractions. You know, that is a huge one. But I would say one of them is just lack of awareness, you know, that it's an option. And then even with the awareness, then the actual having the ability to choose it, you know, to want to do this. And, I think what it comes down to, every Catholic male should, you know, consider, you know, the priesthood and ask that question, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, that's one thing when I go around preaching, I try to teach that little prayer to people. And if every Catholic school and every religious education program could teach that prayer, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? It would counteract that overarching, I think, that sentiment that so many people have, you know, with good intentions, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or you know, this is what I want to do when I grow up. And
right.
I know for my own life, what kind of changed everything in my discernment was to begin asking that question. It's not about me. It's, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And so I think, and with that, just an openness and ability to listen.
Right.
And it just reveals that equally challenging problem at that point is just to discern, or kind of that wrestling with our own wills, you know, our will versus God's will. And,
right.
And with that, I don't have any programs, you know, but we do have many examples, you know, Mary, you know, let it be done unto me according to your word, and our Lord himself, you know, not my will, but thy will be done.
Right. Do you think something like the Rediscover Initiative could foster more vocations for men and women in the Archdiocese?
Definitely, yeah. I think, you know, discovering our vocations goes hand in hand with discovering our faith. You know, the more we grow in faith, the more that we're willing to offer God, you know, even to offering our whole lives, you know, to serving him and his people.
Right. Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Father.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right.
Other things going on, too.
Yes, we have, with Memorial Day coming up on Monday, we have a story this week about a wonderful project happening at a couple of our local Catholic cemeteries. It's an effort to replace the grave markers of some of the Archdiocese's earliest priests.
Oh,
wow.
Because, you know, over the years, the writing on the original markers has faded, because some of these date back to the mid-1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And so a man whose uncle was one of these early priests approached Father Kevin McDonough, who's a priest of our Archdiocese,
mm-hmm.
after Memorial Day Mass a few years ago, and proposed the idea, and they met with John Cherick from the Catholic Cemetery's office and began this fundraising effort, and a total of 64 new granite markers have been created, 42 of which are going to be placed at Calvary Cemetery in St. Paul and 22 at St. Mary's Cemetery in Minneapolis, and they will be on display at the 10 a.m. Masses there on Memorial Day, and they'll be installed over the next few weeks. So
that's a great project.
Yeah. And
for their families, too, to be able to go and witness that.
Yes. And, you know, Father McDonough made a great point in the story of saying, you know, when you can't see the names, you can't pray for these priests by name, you know, if you're out there. And that was sort of one of the motivations here is, you know, to kind of keep their memory of them going. But to be able to go there and pray for these pioneer priests by name, very important.
And then finally.
Yes, we have a follow-up story, a sad one, about Zach Sobiech. Well, sad, but truly inspirational. You know, he passed away earlier this week from the cancer he was battling, and the funeral was yesterday at St. Michael in Stillwater. And we had carried a story a few weeks ago about the strength of the family's faith through all this, particularly his mother's devotion to Mary and the rosary. And, you know, Zach, through his life and through his music,
his music
and that song Clouds, you know, has just taken off. I think it was number one or number two as an iTunes download.
And it's all over Facebook.
I've seen
friends all across the nation that are posting his story.
Right. And they played it, the song yesterday at the funeral. He's just touched so many lives through his life and through his music and inspired so many people. And we're working on one more story right now to talk to people whose faith lives were impacted in a powerful way by Zach. So if any listeners are one of those folks and have a story to tell, I'd really encourage them to drop me an email or give me a call, and we'd love to include them as part of the story.
Well, you have a busy summer coming up, I'll bet, at the Catholic Spirit. You always do.
Tell
me a little bit about what's in the coming months.
We do. You know, coming up most immediately, I suppose, would be we'll have some coverage from the ordination mass tomorrow in our next issue and on our website. But we'll also be doing some coverage, some preview and some actual coverage. Archdiocesan Rural Life Sundays coming up later in June. And there's also a Freedom Forum being planned also later in June around issues related to religious liberty, which, as we know, are very, very important these days. And also later in the summer, we have our annual Leading with Faith Award.
I was just going to ask about that.
So that's another thing. If folks have suggestions of a manager or a business owner who is really living out their faith in the workplace and is really an example of a good manager, we'd love for them to nominate them for this award.
How do they do that?
Yeah, they could actually just maybe the simplest way at this point is just maybe send me an email and I'll make sure it gets to the right place. And these can be folks from nonprofits, from small businesses, large businesses. So, it's the Towalski J at archspm.org. So any story ideas or any nominations for that, I'll make sure they get to the right place.
That is such a great program to recognize people who live their faith out in the workplace.
Absolutely. We hear so much negative stuff, I think, sometimes, you know, about bad things going on in the business world. And this is a great way to spotlight people who are doing the right thing,
right,
who are really, as we are all called, to live our faith out in our lives.
You Everywhere
know,
in our
just,
lives.
It's not just Sunday Mass, right?
Right.
We go out and it's a way to evangelize. It really is.
They're walking the walk, absolutely.
Absolutely, yep.
But in the meantime, the May 23rd issue of The Catholic Spirit is out. Should be in our hands.
Yes.
And should be on your coffee table, or you should be reading it, actually. Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, thanks so much for joining
us. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
And thanks,
you,
Joe.
Too. You can hear Joe, editor of The Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour, and you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
And in today's Answering the Call, we'll talk to a local Net Ministries leader about exciting new efforts to engage Catholic youth.
Plus, find out about a way to celebrate the vocation of marriage. And we'll share a local seminarian's inspiring vocation story. All this and a whole lot more coming up on the Rediscover Hour.
Coordinated Business Systems. Coordinated Business Systems, celebrating 30 years of information management leadership and customers first, always. Jerry Cantor, VP of Operations with Riediger & Associates, what does that mean to you?
Hard work and listening to your clients and servicing them for what they want.
Something you experienced from Coordinated 30 years ago.
Yeah, there was two guys at the ballroom in St. Paul tax conference. They were showing the machines, and I bought the machine when I left.
And during this tax season, you'll be experiencing the power Hour of 30 with Kyocera, a Kyocera MFP from Coordinator.
We're very efficient. We process lots more with less people than lots of firms.
Experience Kyocera, Kyocera MFPs, Kyocera Color, and customers first always at coordinated.com. Minnesota Twins manager Ron Gardenhire.
Kyocera and the Power of 30. That's Coordinated Business Systems.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Okay, so we always peruse the news for a story about the new evangelization, and I found an awesome one from the Catholic World Report, and it discusses with author and blogger Brandon Vogt about his new site, his new project, StrangeNotions.com.
What's StrangeNotions.com about?
Well, it's designed to be like the central place of dialogue between Catholics and atheists, which is different from, I think, most other apologetic-type blogs. And its goal is to bring these non-Catholics to faith, kind of like we're trying to do, bring everyone back in the new evangelization. But the followers of these so-called new atheism movement, and apparently they believe in God and pray to God, but no specific religious tradition involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he has these forums and these discussions between major contributors, Catholic followers and Catholic faith people like Father Robert Barron, with atheists, and it's very serious and charitable and fair and to the point.
Which in itself is very good. Yeah,
right.
I mean, I've run into some atheists online, and not all of them are, well, let's face it, not all Christians, not all Catholics are nice people.
Nice,
online.
Right. So they keep it nice. And it talks more about God's existence, his morality, the reliability of the Gospels. And I guess they argue back and forth on this site. You know, his main thing is that these nuns, as he's calling them, not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E-S.
Okay.
It's a growing movement, this new atheism, and it's sweeping up young people. It's growing at a fast rate, and it's scary. And he talks about it being a time and a place for Catholics to defend this and to take a part in this movement and try and, you know, obviously stop it.
I did go to the website, and there's some fascinating stuff there. StrangeNotions.com, is that right?
That's right. And Brandon Vogt, he seems like an amazing guy.
This Saturday, May 25th, 10 men will be ordained to the priesthood at the Cathedral of St. Paul.
And earlier this month, 7 men were ordained to the transitional diaconate for a final year of formation before ordination to the priesthood in 2014 with God's grace. One of those new transitional deacons is joining us this morning to share his inspiring vocation story. We are so excited to be able to talk with Deacon Mark Paveglio. Deacon Mark, are you there?
I am. Good morning, Paul and Corey. How are you?
Good to hear you and good to speak with you. Thanks for being with us this morning.
No problem.
You have an interesting story that involves Eucharistic adoration as part of your faith growth. Tell me a little bit about your first experience.
My mother had a reconversion back to the faith involving Mary and the Eucharist. And there was a time when she brought me to the chapel in our hometown when I was in eighth grade. And she usually went for an hour, but she said, if you come with, it'll just be half an hour. So I begrudgingly said yes, not sure what this was, and survived it in my book. And then after that, in high school, I just began to go back time after time, just drawn to the Lord to speak with him.
It's an amazing experience, isn't it? I mean, I've done Eucharistic adoration off and on for a few years, and I'm back into it on a regular basis. And I just can't describe it to people. I say, just go and try it, right? Well, tell me about when you heard the call.
Yeah, I began to hear the Lord kind of putting some words into my heart the summer after high school when I graduated. Sometimes I go to Mass and go in the communion line, and it was like I just heard my name spoken to my heart, just the name Mark.
Wow.
And I just didn't know where it was coming from. I didn't understand that was the interior voice of the Lord. But I began to really pray about that and ask the Lord, like, is there something here you're trying to say to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I was already dating my girlfriend of about 2 years at that time, so priesthood wasn't on my radar screen. But as I began to pray about it more and more during my first semester of college, I came back home for winter break, and the last day of our Christmas break, I was at Mass, and the Lord really spoke to me very, very deeply in my heart during Mass and asked me, will you follow me as a priest in this way? And I was just, I just broke down. It was such a powerful feeling of Christ's love washing over me. So that was the moment when the Lord really asked me for the first time.
When you knew that you were going to take a different path.
Exactly. Yeah, everything changed after that.
Mm-hmm. And so tell us about, you. Then what happens? You enter the seminary in Maryland first?
Mm-hmm. I finished college at Penn State in 2007. Then I entered Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg, Maryland for 3 years. And then I took a spirituality year.
What is that exactly? What does that mean, a spirituality year, for those that might not know? I don't know what it is.
That was a year where I was really discerning kind of where and how God wanted me to be a priest for him. So
okay.
It was a year where I stepped out of full-time classes.
Okay.
Spent the year with prayer and study living here in St. Paul.
Awesome. And then you came here.
Yep, and I came here and entered St. Paul Seminary in 2011. And to the glory of God, I was able to be ordained on May 4th by Archbishop Neinstedt.
Now, during that spirituality year, you had some involvement with an organization called the Companions of Christ. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, the Companions of Christ are a group of diocesan priests in the Archdiocese. They're not a religious order, but they really strive to live as parish priests who really have a focus on community and fraternity and living out the evangelical counsels in their daily parish ministry.
That must have been a wonderful opportunity to... What did you live with them, or how did you interact with them?
Yeah, they have a formation house here
in
St. Paul, just right by the seminary. And I ran into Father Andrew Cousins, who's part of this group.
Right.
And after some prayer and discussion, I asked, would I be able to do this spirituality year with you? Because I was really inspired by some of these priests. And he said, sure, you know, we have a room for you. Come on out and see what it's like. So that's where it started out.
We heard about the example of your mother taking you to Eucharistic adoration. What about the rest of your family? Pretty devoted to the faith?
My parents are both Catholic, so I was raised in a pretty average Catholic home. We went to Mass every Sunday, went to confession a couple of times a year, but not a whole lot of else besides that. But my dad was always a very good example of how to be a righteous and just man. And then in the 90s, you know, my mother had this deeper conversion to the Lord, which I think really sparked my vocation. And then my dad also began to come alive in the faith more as well. So it's just been great to see the Lord's grace taking us all deeper, so that now, you know, my father also prays a holy hour once a week at the chapel.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I go home for breaks, we'll pray the rosary together, we'll read scripture together. And it's just beautiful because that relationship I have with my parents, which, you know, was a little bit tumultuous in my teenage years, has grown not just better and more peaceful, but it's really this deep love and reverence I have for my parents who've given me the faith, and now we're all walking together.
Right, growing together.
To Christ.
Just a few more seconds, Deacon, and I always like to ask young men in formation, or even middle-aged men in formation, what do you look forward to most as a priest?
The God I look forward to most, to just bring people to know that the love of Christ is the most beautiful thing that we can ever encounter in our lives, and that it's a love that heals our wounds, brings us deeper into God, and will never end. So I look forward to just introducing people to God's love.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
And you can find out more about St. Paul Seminary, upcoming vocations events, and the USCCB Vocation Resources at our show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org, click on radio in the top navigation bar.
And if you're listening live on Friday, it's not too late to make plans to attend the ordination to priesthood on May 25th, that's tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Please consider attending as a family.
Confirmation season is wrapping up here in the Archdiocese. This spring, more than 7,000 local young people have been confirmed in the Catholic faith.
And every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with a few local Catholics and ask them a question. This week, we asked, what is your memory of Confirmation Day? And here's how they responded.
My name is Arlene Leiden, and I've been a member of Nativity of Our Lord Parish in St. Paul for 52 years. I made my confirmation with my brother and with my two first cousins. I came from a small town. I do remember that, and I remember I was frightened that maybe the bishop would ask me a question. But he did not. But it also was a very exciting day.
I'm Seal from St. Peter's in Mendota. I think it just kind of made me a little bit deeper into the faith, too, at that age, where you kind of need something, and it was seventh grade for me. And it just kind of confirmed, as the word goes.
I'm Josh from St. Joseph's in West St. Paul. Confirmation actually does stand out to me something a little bit more memorable. Again, it's high school. It was right around the time that I had a bigger conversion when I took my faith on as my own. And I knew with confidence this is something I wanted to do. I remember my family was there. I come from a separated family. So my dad had come to my confirmation. My brother was there and he didn't go to Mass. Same with my mother. It's just something that I took on as my own faith, but at the same time it brought my family together again. I can really see the power of God's grace, His love, and just abundant mercy pouring out, especially through the sacraments.
Hi, I'm Joan from Transfiguration in Oakdale. I was in seventh grade, and I chose Teresa as my confirmation name. I chose that because it was my mom's confirmation name, so I wanted to carry that tradition on. And I remember liking St. Teresa, the little flower.
Well, every week on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from local Catholics about a faith topic.
And if you have an idea for a topic, there are lots of ways to reach us. Email at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. Or go click on the radio button in the top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org and reach us through our show page. Or contact us through the Relevant Radio site, relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. Coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we just heard about local Catholics' memories of confirmation. We'll hear about efforts to keep young people engaged in the faith after confirmation straight ahead in Answering the Call.
Plus, we'll look forward to the annual Archdiocesan Marriage Day celebration on June 8th with a local couple who do so much to support the vocation of marriage in this local church. It's all ahead on the Rediscover Hour.
People around the Twin Cities are earning what they're worth from home with Home-Based Hearts. Listen to Chris and Mary about their recent experiences with Home-Based Hearts.
This company has provided my wife and I an opportunity to choose to be proactive with our family's wellness and finances. We have built a residual income from our home that will pay us for the rest of our lives and will enable me to retire early from my traditional job.
After 3 months in this business, I was able to pay off the debt I incurred in my brick-and-mortar business of 5 years, where I seldom paid myself and had little to show for all my efforts. This company has a proven business model, 25 years in the making, and you can be part of something great.
If you have a serious desire to change your circumstances, we invite you to learn more from other successful business mentors. There's little risk and no overhead. Take your future into your own hands. Call Home-Based Hearts at 763-923-3333. That's 763-923-3333.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. So we've been talking a bit about confirmation on today's show and the importance of youth outreach and engagement. And did you know that 70% of young Catholics stop attending Mass by age 21 and 85% stop attending Mass by age 30? And gosh, those are astounding statistics from the Dynamic Catholic Institute we got, and heartbreaking really for parents and others who love the young people who have drifted away from the church. When you look at those numbers, you can see the importance of ensuring continued engagement with youth after confirmation.
Well, as a part of efforts toward continued engagement, the Archdiocese, with the support of Net Ministries, Partnership for Youth, and Twin Cities Tech, is inviting young Catholics to a day of celebration and truth, just for high school-aged youth. In today's Answering the Call, we're talking with a Net Ministries leader about the second annual Archdiocesan Youth Day and why such events are effective and important.
Net Ministries Program Director David Rinaldi joins us live today. David, how are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning, and thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Tell us a little bit about what you do at Net.
I oversee the programs that Net offers, which mainly include our local Lifeline program. We send out retreat teams across the country to over 90 dioceses to do youth retreats. And we have parish teams that do a year of ministry in different parishes around the Archdiocese.
And how did you get involved in this? What's your backstory?
Well, I was in the Air Force after college for a number of years.
Okay.
And I volunteered as a youth minister. And I was at a parish doing a retreat, and someone confused us with a Net team.
Okay.
And I had never heard of Net, and they they told us about that there was some group out in Minnesota that for a year long. And I, after that, it was a few years while I was still in the Air Force that I checked it out, and I knew that the Lord was calling me to leave the Air Force and my flying career to come serve with Net.
To come to the cold tundra and
exactly.
Be with us. Well, gosh, I'm glad you did.
Now, this is your second year emceeing the Archdiocesan Youth Day, isn't it?
It will be, yes, sir.
Tell me what you found last year. Was it everything you hoped for? More?
You know, I think more. We haven't had an event like this in the Archdiocese for a number of years, and we were hoping for big numbers, but the numbers, I mean, they came in droves, and it sold out, and the big problem was, are we going to have enough room for all these young people?
How many people?
It was a great success.
How many people were there last year, or how many youth?
Oh, I wish I could tell you exactly. I want to say close to 2,000, but...
2,000. Oh, my gosh.
Don't
Wonderful.
Quote me on that number.
Well, that sounds like the right number. We'll go with that.
Any stories to bring from last year's event? Any individual stories?
You know, more from... I do a lot of speaking in the Archdiocese. So after that event in September, when I was traveling around the Archdiocese, speaking to local confirmation groups, I would meet a lot of young people that said, oh, we saw you at Archdiocesan Youth Day, and I would ask them questions. And what the event did and what the hope was it got kids plugged back into their local parishes. You know, a lot of our rural parishes, they can't offer big events or
right.
things like that. So, you know, let's bring them all together at one event, and then the local youth ministers can tap into that and say, hey, remember when Father Mike Schmidt said this, or remember when
mm-hmm.
Archbishop said that. So the young people, they did get a lot out of it. It was much more than, you know, the pep rallies of years past where you just got them together for a fun day. It was much more than that this past year.
And their pastors and youth ministers can kind of keep that momentum going and bring that back to their parishes, right?
Oh, for sure. And that's really the goal of it. We want the young people to be lifelong disciples of Christ. And as you mentioned in the beginning of the show, the number of young people that leave after confirmation is just...
It's so sad.
It's devastating. And so, we want them to be lifelong disciples, and that doesn't happen from a large, big event like this, but the large, big events then can feed into those things that are effective, like small discipleship groups or
mm-hmm.
one-on-one mentoring.
A catalyst, so to
speak. That's what I was
going to
say, that same word, a catalyst to get things going.
Exactly, and that's the purpose of it. You know, and I think another great purpose of it is a lot of young people think, okay, it's just my faith and my belief in God or my parish, but having an event that is from the Archbishop bringing the young people together. It's a day with our pastor. I think the young people really left with a sense of, I belong to something bigger than just my family or my parish, that it really is a universal church. And Archbishop Nienstedt just hit it out of the park. He was very relatable, and the young people asked him all sorts of questions from the ridiculous to the seriously theological, and he really just connected with them last year, and we expect the same this year.
Keynote speaker this year is Sean Forrest. Tell me about Sean Forrest.
You know, I've only met him once. We spoke together at a Steubenville conference back in 2006, and this guy is the real deal. He's very articulate, very honest and vulnerable. He's witty and funny, but he's rooted deeply in our Catholic faith. I don't say this lightly, I don't know if I've heard a speaker as good as him.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're in for a great treat in September.
That's great for the youth to be able to hear someone like that as well.
Oh, you know? Yes.
It's so important that they stay interested and in connected that way.
Oh, definitely.
Well, why do you think it's important to hold events just for high school-aged youth to kind of bring them together? And what's so unique about this demographic?
You know, 30 years ago, even if your family wasn't particularly strong in their faith, the culture supported a Christian environment. Today, if we don't take it seriously, the culture is definitely against young
people. Right, it pulls them away.
So, you know, gone are the days of just let's get the kids together for a pizza party or a big pep rally and sing songs. And, you know, we have to let them know that there is truth and that truth has a name of Jesus. So having an event like this where they hear the Archbishop and hear solid Catholic teaching, it helps us in this fight against the culture that is just declining with each passing day. I think it's important to get them together and say, you know, it's not just you. You're not just an oddball if you believe in Jesus. Look around you. There's 2,000 other teenagers here. What a difference we can make here in the state of Minnesota and the church if we live our Catholic faith.
Well, and there's power in numbers too. For kids that age, they're so pulled by what peers are doing and other kids are doing and influenced that way. And to see a group of kids all doing the same thing, it's got to be synergistic and magnetic in that way, that they all are there for the same reason, that other people have the same beliefs they do, and that it's cool to be this way.
Oh, for sure. You know, a lot of times we hear the word peer pressure and we think of it as a negative thing.
Right.
But here, there's a lot of peer pressure, you know.
For
positive
good.
Positive peer pressure.
Right.
It's cool to pray and you can
it
sing
is.
Songs and you could want to be Catholic. Oh, you're right on.
Now, you've been with Net Ministries for a few years, about 15?
Yes, sir.
Tell me what you've seen change there in that time.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if a lot has changed with young people and their needs and their desires. Attention spans have gotten shorter, and, you know, multimedia and social media has increased. But I think those things are really just superficial. The deep desire of young people, I think, really is the same as it always been. They have a desire to be involved. They have a desire to know truth. And we just have to, you know, okay, work within the local or work within the modern culture to figure out how do we communicate that. You know, even on Net, like our talks used to be a half hour long on a retreat. Well, now they're 15-minute segments with an activity in the middle because of the shortened attention span.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And knowing that social media is not going to go away, so how do we use that better?
For good, right.
But, I don't think the desire on the human heart has changed in millennia, but it's just how do we get to those young people's hearts has definitely changed.
Well, let's break it down to an individual basis. Somebody's listening today, and they know some young people. What can I, as an individual, do to help a young Catholic stay strong in the faith or come back to the faith even?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, one of the worst things I ever hear, and people as young as 35 say this, they say, I'm too old to work with youth. They need someone dynamic. And it's like, what are you talking about? Timothy needed Paul, and young
yep.
people need mentors. And whether you're 20 years old or 90 years old, if you have a heart for young people, then get involved. Youth ministers are constantly at the, church, like saying, we need volunteers, we need chaperones. Why not volunteer? And it's not just for the event that needs a chaperone, but when you're doing that chaperoning or doing whatever it is you're volunteering for, it's an opportunity to meet young people and mentor them. So we talked before about how events like Archdiocese and Youth Day are great springboards. Well, the springboard's not going to have the effect if there's not people to catch the young people when they
There has to be
right.
some follow-up.
Right.
Exactly. So just, go to the youth minister and say, hey, I want to lead a small group, or I'm willing to be a mentor, and you will not be refused. After, of course, you go through Virtus and get trained and those kind of things, get involved in your local programs.
Speaking of those programs, I know there's a lot of growing cooperation on events like this between NET, Tech, Partnership for Youth, and why do you think that's important for these groups to team up?
Yeah, I think, like we said before, how the culture is in a decline.
Mm-hmm.
And no one organization or ministry has it all or can compete with the local culture. So
mm-hmm.
we have to pool our resources. You know, the Archbishop is doing that with parishes, you know,
right.
combining parishes. Well, we at NET are realizing, you know, we're going to be most effective if we team up with other individuals or other ministries that are on the same page as us, you know, faithful to the church and desiring to see young people become saints.
Mm-hmm.
So we really do have to, you know, tag team and use
right.
each other's gifts.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me a little bit about, just in general, what is NET Ministries?
At NET Ministries, it started back in 1981. What we do is try to get to the one-on-one evangelization with young people. As we have about 130, this year we'll have 138 team members from over half the states in the U.S. and countries around the world. They come for 5 weeks of training, and then we send them out in teams of 8 to 14 young adults,
mm-hmm.
and they go into the parishes. And it's funny because even though I mentioned how our culture is getting more multimedia and
right.
all that, our ministry, we don't use any multimedia.
It's face-to-face.
We don't use any computers. It's all relational ministry.
So important.
It's young people sharing with other young people, hey, this is what God has done for me. And that's the power in it. You know, it reminds me of the blind guy that he couldn't answer all the Pharisees' questions, but he just said, listen, all I know is I once was blind and now I see.
Right.
And
simple
so here
that.
At NET, we have 130 young adults between 18 and 28 that go out and just say, look, I was blind and now I see. You know, here's what God has done for me. And I have the privilege of reading, you know, hundreds of evaluations every year. And it's just beautiful to see people from parishes and host families just saying, wow, the NET teams came into our parish or into our home, and just by their living witness, they've made a big impact on our family or on our parish.
Wonderful.
David Rinaldi, Program Director at NET Ministries, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks in advance for emceeing this year's
Absolutely.
Archdiocesan Youth Day.
Oh, thanks. I'm the one that's grateful. What an honor and privilege. So thank you so much.
Well, here are the details on Archdiocesan Youth Day 2013. All high school-aged Catholic youth are invited to this special day, September 21st, 2013, at Holy Family Catholic High School in Victoria. Now, registration is free and by group only, so talk with your parish youth minister, campus ministry leader, or pastor to sign up. The event filled up last year, so ask your leader to register now.
Yes, and the details again, Archdiocesan Youth Day 2013 takes place September 21st, 2013, from 2 to 9 p.m. at Holy Family Catholic High School in Victoria. And this special event is just for high school-aged Catholics, and it includes a full day with Archbishop Nienstedt, David Rinaldi, who we just spoke with as an MC, a keynote address by international Catholic speaker, performing artist, author, and retreat leader Sean Forrest, Mass, opportunities for reconciliation and Eucharistic adoration, and music by Sonar and more. So we've posted a link to the Archdiocesan Youth Day 2013 information on our show page at rediscover-faith.org. Just click on radio in the top navigation bar.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, married couples, celebrate your vocation. Find out about special Mass and reception coming up at the cathedral.
Plus, we'll take a look at local events happening around the area. We'll be right back.
Yeah, Firestone makes tires, but make no mistake, we are a car company. From the first Indy race to this morning's grocery run, we've spent more than 100 years helping them run better, faster, stronger, longer. Because when you slap on a fresh set of Firestone tires, you don't just change your tires, you change your car. So whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Westside Tire Incorporated has Firestone tires to fit your car or truck. Westside Tire, they'll take care of you.
You ever seen a snail race against Indy cars? Didn't think so. But you can. Right now, through July 19th, when you buy a set of four select Firestone tires, you get a $50 Firestone prepaid MasterCard by mail and four admissions to see the new DreamWorks animation movie, Turbo, opening in theaters July 19th.
Have Westside Tire get you ready for summer driving on Firestone tires. Westside Tire, 763-420-2100.
Admissions value up to $58. Promotion card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Certain offer restrictions and limitations apply. See your authorized Firestone retailer for details.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
I'm Corey Regan. So let's talk some on one of my favorite topics, the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration coming up.
I heard about that.
It's going to be great. It's, as we've said, October 12th at the St. Paul River Center. Registration is already open, so go now to rediscover-faith.org. There is over 5,000 people that they expect at this event.
And an all-star cast.
Right. Matthew Kelly, Father Robert Barron, George Weigel, Bishop Daniel Flores, and many others. The programming is also open to kids as well, which is cool. Kindergarten through grade 6 and youth grades 7 through 10. Spanish language programming, and an exhibit hall with exciting information about faith-building opportunities. Now, as a way to support the event and to market your company to over the 5,000 people attending, we are offering, or they're offering, local Catholic businesses and organizations the opportunity to get a booth at the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration on October 12th. And spots are still available, but that early registration rate for these booths ends on May 31st. So for more information, contact Dick Martins at 651-251-7717 or Martins R at archspm.org. And for any more information on the event, you can visit our page at rediscover-faith.org. That's rediscover-faith.org.
Special opportunity for married couples to come together to celebrate their vocation is coming up in a few weekends. It's the annual Archdiocesan Marriage Day celebration, the morning of June 8th. At the Cathedral of St. Paul, all married couples are cordially invited.
All married couples should celebrate their special bond, but sometimes it can be hard to focus on each other with all the busyness of daily life. Well, Jim and Eileen Noble, who serve locally as Marriage Day volunteers, marriage preparation leaders, and marriage mentors, join us this morning with more on this special day. Jim and Eileen?
Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us about y'all's involvement in the Archdiocese with all things marriage-related.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we just sort of have a plethora of marriage activities because we are so committed to helping others, both who are preparing for a marriage and those who are already married, to enjoy and celebrate the sacrament that they have been called to.
You've had a busy life as a married couple. How long have you been married?
It'll be 30 years this January.
Oh, my. You're getting up there.
Congratulations. We have 5 children with us, and we have 6 in heaven to whom we pray, and someday we will meet.
Ah, yes. Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about this special day coming up and what a person can expect.
Well, the Archdiocesan Marriage Day celebration is a wonderful opportunity to remember that marriage is a sacrament and a gift, and to come together both as families, where the couples who are celebrating major marriage milestones sit in special areas, and they sit with their whole families and are there to celebrate together those milestones. And then also just regular couples of any particular length of marriage can attend as well. And you hear an inspiring homily, and you renew your vows together, which is very, very special.
Oh, that's cool.
It is really cool. It's very refreshing and re-energizing for your own marriage. But
right.
Also a highlight, if for me at least, is the pleasure of sort of, I wouldn't call it a competition, but the idea that you get to acknowledge different couples who've been married different lengths of time, and they just keep going, okay, how farther,
oh,
and you
cool.
end up with people who've been married even, you know, 60, 70 years,
wow.
and there
My.
Is such joy in the cathedral when we all get to acknowledge
so inspiring.
Those amazing couples.
And we'll, as far as, I mean, those people inspire us all to work on our marriage and focus on marriage, because obviously they're doing something right. But how do you guys suggest, like as a couple, we take time to really focus on our marriage?
Well, long-term and successful marriages may seem to be habitual, but they're not. They are intentional.
Right.
And one must always make one's marriage a priority.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a functional, practical arrangement for managing one's life, but a sacramental union that must be nurtured and maintained, just like a relationship with God.
Right.
And that takes perseverance sometimes, too. Even the relationship with God thus also does a marriage.
Doesn't it?
It sure does.
It's a work and it's a journey, constant, right?
That's right. That is absolutely right. And we like to have this thought in our mind that marriage can be sort of compared to a three-legged stool, with the couple representing two of the legs, then God is the third leg.
Ah, yes.
And the stool can't support anything without the third leg. And the marriage day celebration helps us remember this.
It's quite a special event. It really refocuses your marriage in a sort of sacramental fashion versus just the functional daily life that we are all sort of consumed by, particularly at this time of year when we're so busy.
Right. And that sacramental aspect is just key. It's just so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Jim and Eileen Noble, thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your marriage with us.
Thank you.
It's been our pleasure.
Here are the details on the Archdiocesan Marriage Day celebration Saturday, June 8th at the Cathedral of St. Paul.
This special celebration begins with Mass at 10 a.m. on Saturday, June 8th to honor all married couples, but especially those celebrating their silver and golden anniversaries in the 2013 calendar year. A reception follows and family and friends are welcome. The celebration is free of charge. Couples celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary in 2013 can receive a certificate signed by Archbishop Nynstedt. All requests for a certificate must be made in writing by June 1st and sent to the Office of Marriage and Family Life, Marriage Certificates at 328 Kellogg Boulevard West, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55102. And that address again is Office of Marriage, Family and Life, Marriage Certificates, 328 Kellogg Boulevard West, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55102. And for more information, please call 651-291-4488. That's 651-291-4488. And we also have this information linked on the Rediscover Hour show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Look at some other great events taking place locally. Bring your family. Come join the Archdiocesan Corpus Christi procession June 2nd, led by Bishop Lee Pache. Now, the procession begins at the Little Sisters of the Poor Holy Family Residence, 330 Exchange Street South in St. Paul at 2 p.m. The procession concludes at the Cathedral of St. Paul with a special holy hour in honor of the Year of Faith. This holy hour at the cathedral is called for by the Holy See as a way to commemorate this great year of faith declared by Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, and it is just a beautiful sight to see the Blessed Sacrament processed down the street with a crowd of several hundred or thousand.
Well, and there's also a great event that's fun for the entire family. We like those. Come to the Archdiocesan Rural Life Sunday Mass and lunch on Sunday, June 23rd. The Mass begins at 1:30 in the afternoon and is celebrated by Bishop Lee Pache. A late lunch follows Mass and features pulled pork sandwiches and hot dogs. Activities and entertainment include a rodeo roping demonstration. That's kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Popular and old-time music and a petting zoo. My kids would love that.
Oh, yes.
This location is the Don and Bonnie Quigley Farm in rural Lindstrom at 25051 Olinda Trail. That's 25051 Olinda Trail in Lindstrom. Please bring your own lawn chairs or picnic baskets or picnic blankets.
Some seating will be provided, and in case of rain, the day will go forward as planned because there are facilities for an indoor celebration available at the site.
That's always fun to go to the Rural Life celebrations because there are just so many smells, sounds, and sights.
And it's good to be outside, finally.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Amen to that. Well, and the details on the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration. Join fellow Catholics for a day of inspiration and celebration of our Catholic faith. Saturday, October 12th, 2013, at the St. Paul River Center. Doors will open at 7 a.m. Programming starts at 8:30. Registration is now open for the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration, featuring Archbishop Neinstadt, Matthew Kelly, Father Robert Barron, George Weigel, many other fantastic speakers. Also, special programming opportunities for children and youth from kindergarten through 10th grade, as well as Spanish language programming. There is really something for everybody at this event. Now, adult tickets are reasonable, $15. Youth grades 7 to 10, $7. Kids in kindergarten through 6th grade, $5 each. You can find out more and register at rediscover-faith.org. That's rediscover-faith.org. And for more information on any of the events we've mentioned today on the Rediscover Hour, visit our Rediscover Hour show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Well, coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, in Answering the Call, we'll talk with students and a teacher from a local Catholic high school about their efforts to evangelize teens through ads they've created.
And in No Ordinary Conversation, Archbishop Neinstadt shares what's on his summer reading list. You'll want to grab your pen and paper, jot down some ideas to add to what's on your bookshelf over the next few months.
Plus, we'll get an update on the Rediscover app. Thousands of people have already downloaded this faith-building tool, and it just keeps getting better.
Come back for all this and a whole lot more. The Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.